Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino. On this episode, we talk with business owner and preschool teacher, Hannah Hendrickson. This busy professional has over a decade of experience teaching young children and a master's degree in education. Her small business, called Binspire LLC, empowers parents and childcare providers to provide support for children's development through open-ended play. We cover her vision, philosophy, history, and so much more. Enjoy.
Well, it's great to meet you. Thank you for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. And before we get into your life and your work, I want to begin our journey by asking you, 4 years ago in April, everything kind of stopped on a dime and we were wrapping our head around a world pandemic. How did you get through that time period and how did it change you?
I had a little girl at home who had just turned two. So we had just had her second birthday. We had all the family over. And I'm so glad we did because some of them have passed since, and that was the last time that we saw them. Wow. So we had her birthday party. She turned two, and then everything shut down. Husband and I were both teaching at the time, so we didn't go back to school for that school year. I know a lot of districts did it differently, but we didn't go back to school the rest of that school year. So we stayed home, and it did really get me thinking about my business that I now have. I didn't start it yet. But being with my daughter at home, being with my husband at home, really made me start thinking about that and thinking about other things I could do to serve kids in our community.
And speaking of things to do, you got a lot going on. You know, you're a mom, you're a preschool teacher, you're a business owner. But if I was to boil down the essentials of what you do every day right here in 2024, I'm going to put you in front of a bunch of third graders. It's career day. One of the kids says, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" How do you answer that child?
Oh, man, I do a lot of things. I think I would tell them I do a lot of things. But my big thing, my big career thing recently is that I'm a business owner and I help make it easy for parents and caregivers to offer sensory play to their kids.
So talk to me a little bit about what you wanted to be in the third grade. What was your dream?
I always wanted to be a teacher my whole life. I've always wanted to be a teacher. When I was little, I wanted to be an artist. I've always been big into creativity and creating things. And then as soon as I started school, I wanted to be a teacher. And ever since then, that's been my whole thing.
So talk to me about your business. Give me kind of an abstract and overview of what you do.
So throughout my time teaching, I have noticed a big lack of hands-on play and a big lack of fine motor skills and problem-solving skills from kids of all ages. And I've taught second grade and fourth grade and kindergarten, and now I teach preschool. And I love the technology that we have these days, but also with the kids being on iPads all the time, they're not getting those fine motor skills that they need. They're not getting that exploring with differences. They're not going outside to play as much just with the world, the way the world is these days. And so they need more of that. And so I had been thinking about that. And also, like I said, I had my own kid at home and now I have two kids at home. And I wanted to make sure they were given those opportunities that I saw that have been lacking in a lot of kids. And I looked online and I saw all these beautiful sensory bins and things on Instagram and Pinterest. And I was like, holy cow, that is a lot of work. That's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of work. Of course, the Instagram moms make it all look aesthetic and take beautiful pictures of it, which is, you know, it is what it is. It starts out that way, but we don't want it to stay that way because we want the kids to really explore. And I thought, if I, as a creative person, as a teacher, as someone who knows the benefits of this and knows, you know, what could go into it to help my kids, if I'm feeling overwhelmed by it, I'm sure that there are lots of other parents and teachers out there that there's no way that they could even get started with it because it's just too much. And it's too much, you know, we all have so much stuff already as well that we're, you know, grandparents give us toys and friends give us toys. Like we have so much stuff. And so it's just another thing. And so I wanted to make it as easy as possible for parents and people who care for young children, as easy as it is to hand them a tablet, to hand them a sensory bin. So the first thing I started with was a sensory bin rental program. So when I first started, I would drive in my car and bring a fully made sensory bin ready to go to the person's house. And especially this was 2021 when I started. So we still had some COVID stuff going on. So I'd bring it to their house, no contact to drop off. They would play with it for 2 weeks. And then I would drive and pick it back up. I would take it back, sanitize everything, clean it all up, and get rid of the stuff that needed to get rid of, reset it, and bring it to another family. And that way, they didn't have to prepare anything. They didn't have to store and organize everything. Their kids got that really good sensory play that they need. And hopefully, it's a win-win for everyone. Yeah. And so I started with that. Then I started making some sensory bins for purchase when I started doing vendor events and things like that. People wanted to take some things home that day. And then now I also do messy play events in that same vein of making it easy for parents and caregivers. I bring the paint and the mud and the water and the shaving cream and all the stuff, and we all meet up and we all do it together, and they know ahead of time this is going to happen so that they don't have to, you know, it's not like it's the middle of the day and all of a sudden the kid's running around with a paintbrush with paint on it, painting everything. We are doing it together. We're in it together. And then I clean it up at the end. So that's my whole thing.
That's excellent. So let me ask you this, whether it's been in teaching or otherwise, who has been kind of a hero or an inspiration for you?
You know, I had heard you ask this on other podcasts and I had thought about it and then I forgot about it. So I'm not sure. There is, I don't know if I'd say a hero, but there is a woman named Kristen Arby Peterson that I have followed along online and done some of her training courses and stuff like that. And she is a huge advocate for play in early childhood. She is not afraid to, you know, offend someone by making it known that their practices are out of date. I mean, she does it in a nice way, but she is a huge advocate for children and for play. And so I found her posts and her trainings and all of that very inspirational.
So if you can meet anybody alive on the planet right now that you find fascinating or inspirational, who would it be?
That's another one that's really hard. I think Bill Gates would be really fascinating just to talk to get to know kind of, you know, how his brain works. And I've heard that he's also like a really nice person. So I think it would be really cool to talk to him.
I find that interesting. I don't know that I've heard anybody say that. It's always Elon Musk or Oprah or something like that. But I think Bill Gates, I think he gets downplayed for what he's done, even with all of the money that he's given away and all that he's doing for the health around the world. It's huge. And the fact that he became a conspiracy punching bag during this COVID thing is really weird to me.
I know. Yeah. I mean, and I think he's done so much good. And, you know, I'm obviously, anyone can tell that I'm like all about helping people deep down. And so I feel like that's really cool that he's done so many cool things too.
Yeah. He certainly has. So what is your inspiration? You're obviously highly driven. You got a lot going on. What is it that gets you up every day? What is it that gets you to help people, to keep your business going, and to continue being a teacher?
I think my favorite thing I do with my business is when I do those messy play events and I get to see the kids interact with materials. You know, when I send out sensory bins and stuff, I don't usually get to see the kids interact with it. I do at school with my three-year-old, but I really love to see what they come up with. And it is crazy. You know, I've been a teacher for over 10 years now, and I see new things and I learn new things from kids all the time. And it's so amazing to just watch them try new things and watch them discover new things. And I even had a woman say to me yesterday, like, oh, we should do something like this for adults. I don't think adults usually get the chance to, you know, just go all in and go for it and do something messy and crazy and playful and fun. And I think that's really true. And so it's really fun for me to see those kids explore and learn new things.
What was one of your favorite experiences growing up with a teacher or in a educational environment? You obviously have always wanted to be a teacher. Was there a particular teacher or year or something that happened that has always stuck with you as inspiring or positive?
That is a great question. I had a lot of good educational experiences growing up. One that really stands out when you just said that, I had a choir teacher that was it for a community choir from when I was a little kid all the way up through high school. He was a really great teacher, and he also really trusted me and was confident in me. And I think he always kind of acted as if the kids were mature and responsible, and in response, we were. He expected a lot out of us, and he also respected us, and we respected him. He asked me when I was in high school to take on a branch of younger kids and teach them music and teach them songs and stuff like that. And as you know, I was still a teenager, but I think it was really cool that he allowed me to do that and helped me to do that. And I had, you know, a relationship with him pretty much my whole life. So
excellent. So my son's 19 and he's on the autism spectrum. So I'm very used to sensory environments throughout his whole life. So I'm curious, of your clientele, how many are in the special needs world and how many are in, you know, the neurotypical world? How does all that parlay out for you?
You know, I don't really keep track of data on that. I think, especially since the kids that I work with, mostly they start very young. And I try to tell everyone that sensory play is not just for kids that are on the autism spectrum or kids that have different needs or kids that are not neurotypical. Sensory play is great for everyone, for all kids. Learning through play is really crucial for every single kid when they are young. And even as they get older, learning through play is better than, you know, memorizing or doing some of those other traditional academics. I do have a lot of people that, you know, come up to me when I'm at a vendor event or whatever, and they'll say, oh, sensory play, I have a cousin who is autistic, or I have a friend who's blind, and so they do a lot of sensory stuff. And that is super great. I'm so glad they have those resources. And I also want to make sure that people are aware that open-ended play and sensory play is for everyone, and that all kids can benefit from doing those types of activities.
So of all of the things that you've done in your life up to this point, what are you the proudest of?
I mean, I think having my kids, for sure, raising my kids and just watching them grow, that's the number one, it's the thing I'm most proud of, and learning how to parent through them as well, and being able to continue to make different choices and get better at it. And that helps me also to be a better teacher and to be better at what I do as well. They're really a big influence for me.
So let's say you have a dream tonight. You run into the 18-year-old version of you. You can give that young version of you a piece of advice based on the life you've lived, the wisdom you've gained. What advice would you give that young version of you?
I'm just saying that when I turned 18, I was terrified. I did not want to turn 18. I did not want to step into adulthood. I was late to school that morning because I was just really scared about, you know, what was to come and all of these big life changes. And I think I would tell myself that it's going to be okay and that I can get through anything and that I should continue to be confident in myself and just follow my dreams and what I want to do.
So, Hannah, everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, clients, colleagues, everyone around you, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
I think that I am caring and helpful and driven, and I don't give up on the things that I start. And I think I'm a lifelong learner, and I am a friend to everyone.
So if anyone wants to get your sensory products, reach out, learn more about you and your company, anything about your world, what's the good business?
It's binspirellc.com is where they can find me. Is that your question?
Yeah, just, yeah, like where people can find out more and get involved and reach out, all the good stuff.
Yep. binspirellc.com. It's also on Instagram at bin.spire and then on Facebook, binspirellc.
That's easy. So, Hannah, thank you so much. Thank you for your story. Thank you for opening up this portal the way you're doing. It's wonderful. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to another Famous Interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, business, spirituality, music, and more from around the globe. Our esteemed theme music was composed and produced by the great E.E. Pointer of Kansas City's River Cow Orchestra. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino channel on YouTube. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.